Go to the book of Obadiah.
One of my personal favorites.
Obadiah is a word in the Hebrew that means it means a slave or a servant of exclusively and only God. And it's something to the effect like I mean the sense of it is someone that is devoted so exclusively that they see nothing else around them, and there's no stimulus that can affect their function, their purpose. There's nothing that can sway them from that servanthood. I'm afraid that the farther we get in terms of understanding of the revelation of God, for some of you, the easier you're swayed instead of the more difficult, the more, and I'm not too sure why. Don't lose your place. You don't just stay there. Don't, you don't go anywhere.
Where are you
going? Revelation. It's talking about the plagues in Revelation 9, verse 20. And it says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship or give breath to demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders or nor of their sorceries nor of their fornication nor of their thefts." The idea of, and then Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians, about that they're idols of gold, of silver, precious stones, of wood, of hay, and of stubble. Now, I had assumed that the idolatry that was connected with the wood, hay, and the stubble was not even needed to be talked about, because I had assumed that over the course of time that your wood, hay, and stubble idolatry would have been destroyed by now. So that's what we're talking about tonight, is wood, hay, and stubble. Now, these are the really stupid idols.
What about brass idols? Are they just going with gold and silver? Those?
No, there's brass idols too. But those are the ones that are really dumb. But the wood, the hay, and the stubble are the idols that the poorest of the poor had in the ancient times. And they were the idolatry that they built, you know, voodoo dolls are an example of wood, hay, and stubble in terms of the actual making of the doll. But back in the ancient times, they had these agricultural. They'd make little figurines or figures of this hay and the wood, or whatever it is, the crop. If it was corn, no, Indians did it. But if in Palestine, they did it with wheat or barley, and they'd make a little anthropomorphic, looking like man, idol of the wheat or the corn. And then they did certain rites with it, and if it passed the test, then it meant they were going to have a good year, you know, on and on and on. The wood ones are the ones that were the little carvings that are talked about with Laban and Jacob, when they were the little family idols that that were unique to a particular situation, they were to ward off a particular disease, or they were to cause a particular. Most of the sexual idols were wooden. The hay and stubble is sort of a. The hay is better than the stubble. The word stubble in the Hebrew means that it's the stalk of the grain, and it's that which is not only has the wheat been lopped off the grain, but the stalk has dried up. There is absolutely no moisture within it, so it's simply a dried up nothing. The hay, at least, was the word hay. It could mean any kind of a green thing. It was green when it was done, and the wood is obvious. Now, what the thing that kills or that destroys the wood, the hay, and the stubble idols? The primary thing that kills those are the passage of time, if you have any honesty at all, because the passage of time destroys those fetishes, because you can see that they're obviously of no value. Now, all of you had wood, hay, and stubble idols. A lot of you still have them. And they're the ones that, to any casual, intellectually honest observer, that idol would be destroyed by just seeing that it was marred by everybody. I mean, there's nothing. But we still have those among you that are still worshiping those idols.
Are they like superstitions and things like that? Is that what you're talking about?
No, you'll see what I'm talking about soon enough. Obadiah. The vision of Obadiah, i.e. the vision of the exclusive servant of God, that lets nothing detract him from the vision. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Now Edom is simply a word for Adam. So thus saith the Lord God concerning your flesh. Remember, Adam, Edom, Esau are all the same. It's simply things of the flesh. You got that? We have heard a rumor or a message from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou shalt exalt thyself as the eagle, and thou shalt set thy nest among the stars, thence or from there will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? He's just mourning in the midst of the sentence. He started a sentence, he said, if thieves came to you, or if robbers came to you by night, and then he stops and mourns because the whole tribe, the whole nation, the whole people is outside the camp. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? And how are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau shall be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. In other words, gloated over, is what it means. Neither should thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither should thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou should not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou should not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands in their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now, do you understand what's happening? He's talking to the flesh, to Edom. Edom is what surrounds the promise. You got it? The flesh surrounds the promise. Your flesh, all flesh, surrounds the promise. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return on thine own head. For as you have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. They shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Well, that's enough. Now, the fire is inescapable. There's not one of you, there's not one person on the face of the known universe that shall escape the fire. And the function of the fire is to purify. And only that which can stand the test of time can make it through that fire. Wood, hay, and stubble, it's interesting, for instance, that money is made out of wood, paper. Money won't, so the idea of worshiping money is one of the wood, hay, stubble idols. The idea of, if you go through and search out the scriptures, and you'll see that the wood, the hay, and the stubble idols are all the common idolatry that's common to all nations. Appearance. The value system. The buying into of, it could be astrology. Astrology is considered one of the wood, hay, stubble idols when you read it. I don't feel like going through it tonight, but drunkenness is one of the great wood, hay, stubble idols. Have you ever thought about getting drunk, what it means? There was more alcohol consumed last night than I could ever believe by this group of people. What is the need that requires that much alcohol to be consumed? I don't care about drinking, but I care about drinking as an excuse. I don't care if all of you become alcoholics, but I want you to know what you do when you drink. First of all, you become disgusting. All your little cutenesses come out. All the little arenas whereby you're still buying the world system come out.
But why is it that you think that you have to drink to be free? You know, 99% of the time when we've had organized gatherings, there's maybe 1/6 liquor or alcohol and the rest soft drinks. You know, just a little aside, there weren't any soft drinks there. The whole refrigerator was beer. There was 20 bottles of wine that were consumed one after another. What is it? What is it about life that causes you to desire to be drunk? Well, I know what it is. I'm not asking. It's a rhetorical question. It's a desire to escape. It's a desire to be without inhibitions. It's a desire to be free from the hypocrisy of your normal lives. Well, all of those things were hopefully dealt with. I mean, when you drink as an excuse, then what you're doing is you're resurrecting all of the idolatry that has been destroyed by time that still has a foothold. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That rather than being filled with the Spirit of God, that you need a substitute. You need a substitute to enjoy the spirit of liberty. And so you become consumed with the things that the world is consumed with. You know, I don't care if you're going to drink. If you want to drink, we'll stop the hot seat process. I'll just stop it. Because it's an exercise in futility. If you're still at the point where you think you need alcohol to be free, then we'll stop it. If you still want to resurrect the idolatry of wood, hay, and stubble through the excuse of alcohol, then we'll stop the hot seat process. Because first of all, I'm spinning my wheels. And your desire for truth is a sham. And what's sickening is that there are people on the outskirts that see this, and they then use that as an excuse to ignore the doctrine. And if drunkenness is the fruit of preaching here for 10 years, then you can get another guest speaker. Do you have any idea what it is we're about? And I want a public identification. I want a forum. What is it about life that causes you to desire drunkenness? Let me tie down these wood, hay, and stubble idols a little bit. some of the secret little things that you do to give your life meaning. For some of you, it's an obsession with appearance. For some of you, it's an obsession with dress. You know, all the little stupid things, the flashiness, jewelry. I mean, I don't care about this stuff. I just want you to know it. The little, and it doesn't matter whether you do it or not in terms of externally. What the heart reveals is that this is where you are. This is where your life is. Do you understand? I mean, we have, it's your mannerism, you know, I mean, it's how you walk, how you project your persona so you make the right appearance. How you position your small talk so that you can, you know, be able to say the right things and have witty conversation. It's all of those value systems that I had hoped or believed were gone before you ever came through that door. And yet last night I saw them all and almost every one of you resurrected because of your drunkenness. You know, it's all the little movements and games you do to be sexually attractive or macho. It's manifest in private about how much, you know, the standing in front of the mirror for hours and hours, but those are the things of the world that, I mean, any casual observer of humanity knows that they're marred and they're worthless. And we're up here trying to destroy the gold and the silver, and you're back down here worshiping, giving importance to and breath to the wood, the hay, and the stubble. Speak to the bullshit. Do you want the value systems of wood, hay, and stubble? Or do you want that which is can't be touched by anything? Which will you serve? Now, interestingly enough, the Fast of Tammuz is coming very quickly. And the Fast of Tammuz is about the book of Daniel. It's talking about Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was destroyed, sent out, had to eat like the animals. All his idols were destroyed, his whole sin. Then his son came in. And then Daniel was talking to him about interpreting the dream, and then they saw the finger in the wall. Well, that finger's gonna write on your walls tonight. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this. Not one of you can excuse your behavior. Not one of you know, every single one of you knows that the chasing after those idolatries are that which has led Israel out of the rest ever since the beginning of time. There is now no cloak. If you want to play those games, there's 50,000 churches you can go to and they'll encourage you how to do it better. And thou his son or his daughter, you know all these things. But thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Behold, behold, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and your kingdom is divided from you. Am I communicating?
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me about one of these valuable systems. Contend with me. Give me your information. If you don't hold on to this value system, this idol that you made of, and you've made them all, by the way, of wood and hay and of stubble, I mean, don't you, if you disagree with me, have the guts to talk to me. Oh, I'm being too hard on Doug's Bible study. You haven't seen hard yet. Oh, I'm being too hard on Barbara. Barbara hasn't seen hard yet. I could go down the list. The only ones that are exempted are Tim and Tony. I'm ashamed that they had to hear this. But we're not about the worship of the things of this world. And to worship means to give it breath, to chase after it, to snuff after it as a heifer in the wind. Now, if you need to get drunk as an excuse to chase your idolatry, you're in the wrong place. You think we've had winnowing so far? You haven't seen it yet. I don't care if by the end of this process there are two of you left, or one. Well, he's not nice. You're right. I don't care about your bullshit. I don't care about your attempts to suck up. I don't care about your attempts for intellectual compatibility. I don't care about your niceties. I care about one singular thing. And I pray that the zeal of your father's house will eat you up. Well, I guess, you know, let's talk if you want to. Anybody have anything to say?
Amen.
Yeah. I think in me it's a habit rather than...
No, it's not. There's no such thing as a habit.
What's a
it's only a serving
behavior, yeah.
It's only serving an idol.
When you first started talking, I was defending myself. Well, I didn't drink it my first time. And then I started seeing everything that I was doing. Yes.
Does everybody clearly understand what wood, hay, and I mean, I don't want you to, I just want you to have an inkling of what wood, hay, and stubble idolatry is. It's the stuff that's so obviously destroyed that it's not even worthy of giving breath to. But that's what's resurrected when you're drunk. Now, some of you, it takes one glass of, you know, I mean, it's different. I hate hypocrisy worse than I hate anything in the world. I hate posturing and positioning. And that's all that I see when you drink.
I'll let you see it
when we're drunk.
Manipulating. What is it? Why? Tell me. Somebody tell me why you drink. Tell me why. What is it about it? I can understand us drinking to celebrate the feasts, and there's an understanding. But we're talking massive quantities of alcohol, from my perspective. Maybe not from yours. We're consumed. I mean, what is it? What is it about that is pleasing to you? You know, bad breath? I used to drink like a fish, but I drank to escape. You want to escape? Where are you going to go? This is the last doorpost before hell. You've denied everything else. The only other place you can go from here is the other way. Tell me about it. What is it? Oh, I'm just relaxing. No, you're not.
You always come back to reality.
Honey, it's the response we have to that idea of a party. And it's just engraved, in your brain. So the party, you drink some, you get this way, and when there's a like a moratorium among us on exhortation, you don't really, then nothing gets spoken to like it might if we were in a different situation. It's like a party becomes a kind of a sacred ground in our mental thing, you're messing up somebody's party if you speak reality or something. And it's like a subliminal deal that's, when it's spoken to like it is tonight, it's clear. But it's not when you're just in it.
Well,
sucked along by it or something.
The thing that I want you to see is what you, all that's, if you see it in the spirit, all you do when you drink, when you get drunk, when you reach a point of drunken isn't the right word, when you drink enough to reach a point without inhibition. Well, the problem with that is that it raises a justification for the worship of another idol. That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can excuse it.
You excuse it and justify it.
Yeah, the justification.
Now, idolatry is the battlefield. It's not drugs or alcohol or anything else. It's these silly little idols that you spend a lifetime worshiping. Now, I don't want those idols resurrected. That's my job, to destroy them. I just want, if you can justify, I want you to tell me what it happens. Maybe it is the ambiance or the expectation of a party. I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that there are times when we have but one reason for being. That is the word, not this. That's just words about the word. But the word of life, which has been given us and is within us and is our life. And when that word of life isn't spoken, then in an instant, we return to Gehenna.
Even at a time of like tabernacles or something like that, or even at a wedding, you have something that
it's a focus.
This is why we're doing this. And like I've been as drunk at Passover as I have last night, but on those times I don't feel like, I may just wish I hadn't drunk so much because I'm having trouble, doing stuff, but it's, things are revealed, things are happening, And in a thing like last night, it's just a nice little get together, which is part of the wooden hay and stubble stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of aimless from the start, and so there's no bearings.
For me, there's a lot to what John said a few minutes ago about, it's like it's an attempt to be normal. Normal in a derogatory sense. And it's like, I agree with what you said. It's like it's some kind of deep line of demarcation where this so-called normal stuff takes place. And to say anything is to spoil, quote, the party. I mean, like, the party has a life of its own.
Yeah.
I mean, I left last night, you even came down to see what was going on. What I didn't say was, I was bored out of my fucking mind.
Well,
but I don't want to spoil the party. I mean, and, you know, I'm ashamed of that, because you wouldn't hesitate a minute to
I didn't spoil it last night.
But, I mean, it's like we're trying to be normal or something. And it's
done.
It's done.
We're
not normal.
What's going on here?
Oh, I don't necessarily disagree.
Not necessarily.
That's a strong amen.
That's a big
amen.
When something this heavy comes down, I take it slow.
Can two walk together?
Yeah, drunk, maybe drinking is the problem, but maybe drinking isn't the problem.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the idolatry. It's the problem.
The drinking in a situation like that is instantly weird.
Yeah.
I
didn't see it. I didn't enjoy drinking last night. I drank 4 or 5 beers and I just got full and it was no fun. But
there's others that drank considerably more.
Yeah. Well, I have in the past. I'm not guilty in that respect, but I wasn't aware to even speak to it, to tell you the truth. It just didn't hit me that way. And I wanted to go home early because I was real tired, and that was it.
I like it when we drink at Burham. I like it when we drink at Castle. I like it when we drink it away.
Yeah, but it's just...
But this is dumb.
It's focused. That's why it's a focusing.
Yeah, that's kind of my point. I'm not sure that the alcohol was the problem.
Well,
it's the point of the party.
It's like you can't get drunk.
That's why we got together.
In a holy situation or something, everything is purified. But in a situation where when you're just doing it, you know, there's really no reason. Yeah. You know, the only thing to put a label on it is for.
There's nothing else to do but
then you're drunk immediately.
Yeah, it's eat 'em.
You're drunk.
You're already drunk in a wine of self-seeking before you start.
Yeah.
Then you have enough soft drinks for the kids.
I know there was. Tara and I went. We down bought some stuff, but. But anyway. This is what you preach. Going after strange flesh, or set forth an example, eternal fire. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities, etc., etc. Woe unto them! They have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. That's what you preach. Somehow they've taken what you've said as a justification for flesh. And I don't care about this alleged curiosity. Do you understand what curiosity is? It's spiritual masturbation. Oh, I'm just being curious. I just want to know this. No, you don't. You just want an excuse to jack off your mind. I'm just, you know. There's the word, And it cuts through everything. There's no debate. It doesn't matter whether anybody comes or not. It doesn't matter whether you piss off the whole world. There's life and there's death. Everything about your hopes, your ambitions, your little mental gymnastics, if you haven't seen the end of them yet, you know, then go do it. This is a place for people who have seen the end. If you want to be someplace else, go be it. It's called winnowing. And I don't care who I don't care which one of you it is. I'm not trying to protect any of you. The three levels of evangelizing in this are still always and ever present. Why in the hell do you want to come along on this trip? Don't you know you're going to be hated of all men? Don't you know they're going to kill you and think they're doing God holy service? Don't you know that your worst enemies will be they of your own household? They're three times repelling. Well, maybe we ought to do that every night. I don't want any of you here. If you choose to follow, if you see the end of everything else and follow this way of life, you know, as Harry called it, it's like, I don't remember what he said, it was some outlandish thing about shock troops or something, but that's us. And we wait until we get public, then there's, the shock is going to, I mean, we've lived in isolation now, and in protection. You know, I don't care. I mean, it would kill me if any of you left, but I really don't care. That's not my life any longer. I'm not going to sit around and soothe your egos. And I don't expect you to sit around and soothe anyone else's, especially those of you who have been sent out. That's not our lot in life. It's not our inheritance. I don't care if it's your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your best friend. The moment you begin play that flesh game, you've perverted the gospel.
A funny thing is going on with me because I feel like I'm sort of on point right now. But it's
like... I think everybody else does too.
Well, you know, but this unusual thing is happening. It's like the harder the preaching is, and the more clearly I hear it, the freer I feel.
Oh, man.
And if anything, you're freeing me up in the exercise of how I deal with anybody.
It's a blessing to be told and have somebody around.
So I'm hearing it's free.
One of the things that we haven't talked about with regard to the Afkaman is that by discerning only his body, by the act of eating and drinking in knowledge, you confess that with him you annul all idolatry. In other words, you are declaring that your idols are marred. And by your silence with regard to contending about them, you have been a big chicken. No.
What are you looking for?
The
matzah.
Matzah. Oh.
It just flew out of your hand.
Just flew right out.
It's right there. No, that's mine. That's Bob's.
But the idea that your whole lifetime has been based on serving idols. That's all you've ever done. Idols that your family or your culture
or you have invented or made. And so that by taking of the afkamen, we disannul those, or we annul those idols, and we say, we declare that we desire to live only by faith.
Even if we don't know what these idols are.
We don't have to know.
Which means taking of the afkamen is fulfilling all the law.
That's right. Amen. It's like, it's the act, you remember I've read to you so many times, the taking of the afkamen is the ultimate act of turning from self. It's the vehicle which empowers you to abandon yourself in knowledge. It's that which you then can, it's imputed to you, if that's the case, that you've accomplished all the precepts of the law. By taking it, you are declaring all idols marred and destroyed. And so by that act, you are also fulfilling all the precepts of the law and the prophets. And since that which this pertains to is by definition perfect love, not neuroses, as most of you have confused love, then you are partaking of the food of love, the food of faith. So again, it doesn't matter what condition you're in. It doesn't matter how many idols that you have unless you like them. If you like your idols, then let's have a little talk. Greg, you have something to say?
No. No.
Oh,
good.
Oh, good.
No,
Mr. Owen.
What?
I said, no, Mr. Owen.
No, Mr. Owen.
I was thinking about that earlier, what you're talking about contending about the idols and everything, and you know, how belief is tied to confession. And I mean, that's, you know, that's just the way it works, and that's true in, you know, in true faith, and it's also true in idolatry. The fact that we, none of us will confess our idols shows that we really know that they don't bring us life. I mean, because there's no confession, so there's no real belief in those things.
So God is, again, tricking.
Yeah.
Don't we, in fact, the truth is that we do like our idols, but we don't want to let anybody know. And you saying it that way, I mean, we'll back off and I'm going to say I like idols. But if we didn't like our idols, we'd be spitting them out. And,
no.
It's like what I heard Ed say the other night when I wasn't here. was the fact that he liked his idols. And I just, my heart leapt inside because it was true. And I think all of us do like our idols.
But he knew they didn't work.
Yeah, we think they give us life. We think they make us secure. We are content with the illusion of life in them.
I disavow anything that you just said. I don't really have anything to do with it.
Well, you don't have to.
I am saying that I have nothing to do with what you just said.
I don't think we do like that.
Okay.
Because we've already come to the end of them. That's why we're here.
Okay.
Admitted every single particular
one. I think that's the point. We don't admit that we like them.
Well, that's why the hot seat.
Yeah.
It helps us too.
Because the hot seat process is to individualize that so that, because I know you all well enough to, so that I know what, you know, a lot of what your idols are.
Yeah.
And so, like an ad, we can call them forward and make fun of them.
Yeah.
And so, you're right.
I just say that we don't fool ourselves by our religion, by our doctrine.
Yeah.
But by the same token, the act of our being willing or seeing or saying, confessing that, Father, it's the same as the annulment of the leaven. You know that. If there is any leaven that I have not seen, or even if I have seen it, that is not confessed, we declare them null and void as the dust of the earth. And so that contention causes the antagonism which blows away the idol.
We've come to the point we see that we don't want to like them. We don't want to do it.
Right. They can't stand in time.
Yeah. Like a little bit of stuff that we get from them, we have to see that it's...
Right, it's still
compared to the little thing of why we keep this idol around.
It's still the fact remains that all that God requires of us is of us. Amen.
During this first song we started singing, all of a sudden it hit me that the God I was singing to is no longer the one I used to sing to. It was like it was just Yeah, that's why I started laughing.
Can we all do it?
No, I have to say something here because I feel like I just jumped all over you, and that was not my intention, was to jump on you.
Yeah.
Any idolatry that I'm aware of, I don't want and I don't like. And any idolatry I'm not aware of, I don't want and I don't like. And that's what I want to say, and say publicly, and say emphatically, not to jump on you.
Yeah. You know, I was speaking that we love the darkness more than the light. And here we come to dispel that and to rid ourselves of all these things that are controlling us that we hate. But in the flesh, we do love them. And we hide and we do our little secret things, and that's our way of loving. And that's where I'm coming from in saying that. And I don't want us to, in the spirit of yeah, you know, the I don't like idols and all that, that we might fool ourselves into thinking we don't love them. But we publicly profess that we hate them. And I want to get rid of them too. But I know secretly, if I didn't love him, you know, I'd be freer than a bird. And I don't want to love him.
Yeah. I just want us all to see that they're all marred. And it's my job tomorrow.
And you've done such a good job.
but I want us to first just drink a sip. Because it's an important time. I feel that, don't drink it all, because this is the first cup of sanctification. I think we are standing on holy ground. Okay? Blessed be thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has guarded us, kept us, and allowed us to reach this time to life. And now, on that same night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said,
"Blessed
be
the
bread."
Take the bread.
Oh, that's right.
You have to do this in order. Sometimes
you got to. There is a liturgy to this.
Song, let us break bread together, and then later it says, let us break wine. You ever need to have an easy little
crutch.
And he took the bread after he had broken it.
And he blessed it.
Saying.
Blessed our God, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth bread from the earth,
who bringeth forth the bread of life from this earthen vessel. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. By these stripes you are healed." Wood, hay, and stubble can't stand against. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like if you get the fire anywhere around them, it'll just crisp.
He took the cup. What?
I was just wanting a brisket.
He's making a tip.
He took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who createst the fruit of the vine." He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sin." It means you haven't existed from now in the past. This is the beginning. To lie.
Don't ever say that again.
Everybody spit on Doug.
And don't hit the floor.
Anybody have anything else? Anybody have anything else?
Yes.
Tony, we have a custom of when we have visitors, if you have anything to say before we close, you're welcome here anytime. So
I'd just like to thank everybody for helping me.
Right. He needs a pair of black shoes, size 10, if anybody knows where those can be obtained. No, he can't say procure.
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 Oh, he's going to learn how to make tacos.
I'd like to think that's just a little collection for a casual, because he has not made everything yet, so.
Okay. We'll get a cat or something.
We can use the rabbi's
shoe.
So we're going to
put it
in
the
kill a cat.
Do we have any guys or offerings given to Barb? Otherwise, take it, large person.